Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. Jonathan, the president's vision for space exploration, as we discussed earlier, defines a challenge for the 21st century and sets a compelling new set of objectives for your organization. Now, recently, NASA conducted an assessment of its current state of IT. Can you tell us a little bit about what some of these key findings were and what are some of the critical lessons learned going forward?
Well, we've actually had a couple of different studies. One was focused on IT security, but then we had a more general one focused on the overall state of IT and the role of the CIO. And so maybe I'll start with the latter and then we can speak a little bit about security. In terms of the work that we did, the assessment of IT, it was actually something that I started when I came on to the job roughly 17 months or so ago. And it was a process where we actually went out and talked to key stakeholders across the agency and the mission specifically about their views of IT. And so what we learned was that at the infrastructure level, at the local level, people were generally okay with the infrastructure delivery, you know, in terms of email services, desktop. Yeah, there were some complaints as always about particular issues, but in general, people in terms of availability and that sort of thing were okay. However, they did see that it was extremely difficult to interact, to work, to collaborate with people across other organizations, and that in terms of being mobile as you move from one NASA center to another, which our people often do, it's very difficult just to plug and play at NASA. And so feedback was we need better support for mobility both within the agency and as we work outside of the agency, you know, after hours and that sort of thing. Another finding was that there was a recognition that they didn't refer to them as applications, but the discussion was typically around there was a proliferation of tools and that perhaps there was a better way to manage our tools such that there was better interoperability and perhaps some efficiencies to be gained there. And then lastly, there was a note from our stakeholders. They were aware because of some issues we've had relative to our scorecard, our PMA scorecard and such that we have had some IT security challenges. And so there was a general awareness that there were emerging threats that were significant to the agency and IT security, and that overall there were certainly some issues with IT security that need to be addressed. And so those were findings that all sort of led into this discussion that resulted in these principles that I talked about earlier.
So given the complexity and just the sheer size of the programs that that you all manage, how has your agency sought to improve its project management discipline and structure for monitoring project performance?
Project management at NASA is sort of a core fundamental competency because that's what we do. If you think about, you know, how we operate, running these large programs, multi-year, very significant dollar value-wise and content-wise programs. But the processes that had been set up in the agency were geared around, for project management, were geared around these flight programs. So the basic fundamentals of project management are the same regardless of the domain. However, when it comes to IT projects, we were having some difficult times trying to sort of fit some of the necessary sort of components of an IT project into this overarching framework that people are familiar with in terms of flight projects. So what we've done is we moved to create a similar but separate project management methodology and governance model for projects that are IT projects in nature. And we've established a project management oversight board that reviews major IT projects and for important key decision points and milestones and gates for those projects that's done at an agency level. For lower order projects, similar to the governance discussion we had earlier, each center has a project management board for their own sort of local projects where they would use that framework, that new framework we've developed, and then use that project management governance board to see those projects through.
So as a CIO managing in the federated environment that you described earlier, I would imagine that a big portion of your job is to put in place policies, cultural change strategies, educational outreach that will help staff recognize that they are part of a broader enterprise. To this end, what are some of the pushbacks that you encounter?
Certainly in terms of some of the things we've talked about, transformational type things that we've talked about, there's always going to be people who don't understand the compelling need to do some of the things that we've talked about, or the strategies create such a change in the way that they're used to working, they perceive them, the changes, to be non-value added. And so some of the common sort of complaints that we'll see is, you know, using, say, this new project management process that we just talked about is too slow. It slows down the project. So this notion of sort of using these processes to add visibility, to add some discipline to IT investments and project executions, slows things down. And so we have to sort of combat that, and be, as an IT community, we have to ensure that the things that we're doing don't slow down the ability of solutions to be created for people. Another, you know, key area of pushback, or if you look at kind of the root cause, in many cases, it's their battles over control. Who gets to control a particular system or solution? Who gets to control and specify an architecture? And the more important it is, depending upon the domain or the subject or the problem that's being addressed, the more important it is to the enterprise, the more need to have sort of a larger view of that effort. If you're an individual who has a particular problem that's a piece of a bigger problem, and you're just focused on the solution for your sort of finite, very discrete problem, you can kind of not understand the big picture as to why, although it may optimize locally, it may really suboptimize at an enterprise level. And so having those discussions, I found, you know, we have very intelligent, brilliant people at NASA, and they educate me every day. But I find that when we have these discussions, that people are logical and rational in general. And as long as you have a solid sort of reason and basis for what you're trying to do, you can make progress.
NASA is a very unique organization, simultaneously engaging science as well as development. And you've had a lot of experience. The agency has had a lot of experience in managing a large contractor base. I think you mentioned 40,000 contractors to 17,000 actual federal employees. Some of the agencies out there might not have had as much experience as that. What kind of recommendations can you give to federal managers that need to effectively manage the ever-increasing blended workforce that's becoming more and more apparent?
Well, I would say you have to think about the relationship as being a partnering type relationship. And I know that sounds very simple and high-minded, but the reality is it's very true. And we do have a lot of experience doing this. And I have found in talking to other agencies that we may be somewhat unique in terms of the length of time at which we've been sort of contracting out and in some cases really outsourcing IT. And so in our world of IT, it will sound contradictory, but you have to create an environment where that partnering environment is where there's sort of a win-win opportunity for the contractor and the internal government organization. If everything from day one is drawn up as sort of ensuring that things are scoped so that it's going to be very clear who's at fault and who's to blame if something doesn't work, it's important to be clear about deliverables and roles and responsibilities, but it's also important to establish the execution of the project or the endeavor where you're partnering with a contractor. It's very important to establish an environment, a culture in which the contractor feels part of the team. So, and it's a difficult skill, I think, to move people from an environment where they're actually just doing the work themselves to where they're actually having to coordinate with external partners. But I found in talking to other organizations outside of government, I mean, this notion of the days where a particular task is done, you know, specifically by an organization in-house and there's no partnering or collaboration with other external entities are long gone. There's almost no work left, you know, that doesn't require some level of partnering. So I think creating that culture of partnering, that shared sort of win-win type model, but also not losing sight of being clear about, you know, deliverables and roles and responsibilities.
We talked earlier about the IT management model and improving security to achieve efficiencies. Could you elaborate a little bit about the security threats and challenges that face the agency?
Yes, I think you know, the speed at which those threats emerge just increases every day, it seems. And so it's a race. It's sort of an arms race that you have to be in to basically try to stay ahead of all the vulnerabilities that exist. And so what we're doing is, number one, going back to our infrastructure, we want to simplify the complexity of our infrastructure because of some of the stovepipes we've talked about in the past in terms of our model of how we implemented infrastructure, created a very complex sort of web of infrastructure with layers of firewalls, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but if those firewalls are implemented in a sort of disconnected way, it can make it very difficult to interoperate. So we want to simplify our infrastructure. So, you know, part of our focus is on our network perimeter, is hardening our network perimeter. If your focus today is just on the network and building sort of that fortress, you're probably going to lose, because endpoint security is probably as important or more important, because you have to expect that no matter how strong your perimeter is, it will be breached. Partly because of this amount of interoperability and interaction we need to have with the external world that we've already talked about. The reality is we have to be able to share, we have to be able to interact, and by virtue of that, you are creating some risk. So if you're creating that risk, then you also need to make sure that you're protecting your information assets at the client or endpoint level. So endpoint security is a big deal. Things like this data at rest initiative that all agencies are pursuing, where we ensure that we're protecting, encrypting information stored on mobile computing devices, is important. So simplifying and then having this multi sort of layered, multi-pronged approach to security, and then leveraging the tools that are out there that help you with things like vulnerability scanning, intrusion detection. In some cases, these tools are really becoming integrated so that there's a platform for security that are available to you. We think those are really important to our IT security program going forward.
I would imagine that also the proliferation of types of devices also presents a challenge, right? It used to be just workstations, and workstations become laptops. Laptops become PDAs and BlackBerries.
Right. Just mobility in general. I mean, it creates the challenge, because our employees expect – in fact, for our discussion today, I was a little early, so I went next door and plugged in, and 2 minutes I was online and doing work. And so our employees expect to be able to do that. And you want to provide them with that capability. It's important to the organization. But when you provide that, it also presents some security challenges. So you have to balance the two. And that's one of the toughest jobs I think we have in IT today.
Sure, sure. Now, Jonathan, I would imagine that as you continue to transform your organization, you're creating new competitive areas and new competencies. So what key competencies will be needed for IT staff to provide proper IT support in the future? And specifically, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain this high-quality technical and professional workforce that can build on these competencies?
Good question. It's really important to us, and I think to any IT organization, to think about what competencies are important in the future. And with our model, where we rely so much on contractors and our partners to help us with certain IT implementation, and we haven't always done a good job of this, but we've really focused on this in the last year, is being clear about the role of the government IT employee. And we focused on competencies like project management, enterprise architecture, relationship management, which is sort of a soft competency, but this goes back to those communication and interaction skills that are needed to communicate with the business so that we can explain IT to the business and also explain the business to IT. And so that actually gets to this next piece, which is, I think, you know, to have a future in IT, it's really important to have competency in the business that you're in. So we were working with our IT employees on, strategies to allow them more access to some of our programs and missions so they get a better understanding of what the actual business is. Again, enterprise architecture, relationship management, project management. We think IT security, given its importance, is still obviously a very important competency to hold within the government role. Other thing I would say is financial and resource management, having people that understand how to relate from an investment perspective, sort of the spend, the investment to the actual benefits, so business case development, that sort of thing, are all important competencies that we want to maintain and grow in-house.
That's great. What does the future hold for NASA's information technology efforts? We will ask Jonathan Pettis, Chief Information Officer at NASA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.